Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Insane in the membrane.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with me, Rich Wilson. And this week I'm joined by the other half of the lovely boys. It's the wonderful Ben Cohen. Hello.
It is frozen again for me.
It will do that.
I told you that.
Did you just introduce me and then I just introduced you. It, like, blankly. In the record, that's what it will look like.
It happens every fucking time. I'm right by the router. I wouldn't mind. When we moved in and we said we want really decent internet, we want the best you can get. Oh yeah, we've got fiber optic bollocks in your area.
And yeah,
I was like, well, you shouldn't be using the word bollocks. I am a customer, and I was like, oh, we're you. And then I'm by the fucking thing. I'm by the window. It should be catching all of the internet, but
all of the internet. That's how you catch it.
All of it. That's how you can just open a window and it comes through.
That's right. Yeah.
How are you, Ben? You all right, mate? You look like you're in your. Where are you? In your attic. That's very nice.
I'm in the attic. Yeah, yeah. I've been up here. I've been zooming all day. I've just done a speed awareness course up here. I literally got off about half an hour ago. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Those things. I had to do one. I did when I first did one online. It took me all day. And now they've narrowed it down to 3 hours.
Yeah, I think mine was less, actually. Mine was like 2.5 or, yeah. Yeah, but it was, you know, it's very, like, patronising stuff. You feel like you're in a nursery school, you know, the way the questions they're asking you.
They put
there's a picture on the screen with a 40 limit sign and a big 40 on the road. And they're like, now what's the speed limit here? And I'm like... I can't actually answer that out loud because I feel like it would insult my intelligence to just be like, is it 40?
And it annoys me when, because it's, I don't drive around like I'm not a Silver Dream racer, as Stu Whiffin from Hardcore Listings calls it. It's always getting caught late at night coming back and they've changed the speed limit for the roadworks that aren't there yet. And you're slowing down. The last of the, I've just got some another 3 points because I was slowing down, not in time for the camera. And when it came through, it was like, oh, you were doing 65. You go, yeah, on a motorway, that's normally 70. You're thieving bastards.
How many points have you got?
I've got three already. And I'm going
to have this will be
another three coming, but... The three have already, I've had them for 2 years, so they'll come off next year.
I think I'm at 9 at the minute, and three of them were got for my bicycle. Like going for a red light on my bicycle.
Going
for a red light. Well, yeah, it depends what you do, but it was going through a red light on my bicycle, and the police pulled me over, and I probably could have talked my way out of it, but I have an immediate. I don't like being told what to do and I don't like being talked down to.
No.
And I'm not very good at just being like, yes, sir, no, sir, three baseball, sir. And so they gave me 3 points and a fine.
Oh, mate. It's things like that. I'm the same. When it could just be, you know, just taken to one side and go, that was a bit stupid. Like I did it years ago, must have been about 25 years ago. I was on a I used to cycle to my job. I was working in Old People's Home, and I'd come flying down this hill, and then I came. I looked right, and there was nothing coming. So I turned straight out onto the road, but I was going at such a rate. I managed to overtake a car that had just gone along, so I'd gone around him, and then as I went and did that, the police came out of another side turning and then pulled me over up the road.
Yeah,
they said, "We're not gonna punish you as such, but we just wanna point out, have you got family?" And I went, "Yeah, I've just had a little baby," and you want us to have to ring them? Do you? Do you want us to take you round there in a bag? And go, this is what dad did.
So is that what you do? Is that protocol? You take your person around in a bag?
Yeah, they scoop them up like roadkill and stick them in a bag for life, the irony. And then they take them around. I believe this is yours. So, yeah, I got done like that. But just, I know what you mean. It's with speed awareness as well, because I remember going to the last one I went to was a physical one, like before the lockdowns. And I remember I got there just as it was starting. So everyone was sort of sat away. So I ended up to sit right at the front. And I'm sat there. And then, you know, they asked that question, why are we here? And everyone's going, oh, to learn about traffic and to learn about better driving. And like, and I was just annoyed to be there. And I went, to get points off our license.
Anyway, you want to be truthful.
Yeah, it's like that's why we're here. I'm not here to. I didn't plan this. This is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, it's stuff that you already know.
Yeah.
You already know it all pretty much. But it does. There is little bits of it now, which I guess I will. It will make a difference. I think.
Yeah.
I think it does make a difference. But whilst you're in it, you're just like, I'm a fucking grown up. Don't talk to me like that.
There's bits of it that will go. Yeah, there are bits of it that will go in. I do remember there was one, and they said, look at where are the dangers in this video?
Yeah.
And so we're all watching them, and then I went, they go round, and I went, well, that there, and that there, and that there. And then she said, the trouble is most people, everybody looks at the end of the bonnet. They don't look further than the end of their car. What you must do is blah, 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 blah. And she was going on for ages. And I just said to her, I'm not being patronising or weird. I said that I was a bus driver and you do a driving course where you sort of like, you learn about road reading and planning. So you learn how to look further up the road and speed limits and things like that. So I said, and that's just never left me. So this is the irony that I'm here because I didn't look at a speed limit.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm like that. I just don't like being patronised.
Yeah, you know? It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're nice people, Ben. Apart from that.
Oh yeah, totally. No, I don't feel like I've got anything morally. I'm all good. I'm all good. I do little things like that. Little things like where I like to, you know, keep my independence as a person. You know, I feel like the UK's got so many like rules, regulations. Like, if you ever go anywhere like Thailand and stuff, you know the police are corrupt, but you feel so much freer to you know, if you want to fuck up, you'll fuck up and you'll pay the consequences yourself.
Right.
And I so there's those rules in the UK. I break them, you know, the little ones, which I don't think really matter, you know, as long as you're switched on.
I think everyone, in order to get by, I think everybody's bending a few bits here and there. Everybody is, because everything's corrupt from the top down, so everyone's doing, you know, little bits here and there.
I think you have to be, otherwise you're not an individual and you'll just be like a drone.
Yeah.
And then you can get used then. People can use you. You know?
This is getting deep and dark very quickly. It does make me laugh when people go on about identity theft and fraud and things like that.
Yeah.
And I do remember getting I got this email. I don't know if you've ever got it. And it says, we've got footage of you. We know what you've been looking at online. And we will share these videos to your family if you don't pay us, blah, blah, blah. Click send if you don't believe us. So I was like, fucking send. What are you going to do? I know what I look at. My family can look at that if they want. It's going to be a weird Sunday afternoon, but
yeah,
you crack on. So lads.
Was there any consequence? What happened?
Nothing happened. I pressed send, and then I didn't hear again. So I was like, "Yeah, just send it." So I know, what I look at and what I'm doing is not. I know it's not like, that out there. So,
yeah. You're all in the normal categories on Pornhub.
Yeah. It hasn't gone. I've not needed to explore the weird and wonderful. Quite vanilla in that respect.
Yeah, I tried to like completely wean off it totally because. I think if you're in a long term relationship, you need to be you need to be excited by your wife, right?
Yes.
You need to, because otherwise, because if you go too mad online, then that's not going to happen in your marriage. Or actually, maybe it is, but that's how you keep it spicy. But I don't know. You can't get desensitized if you want to have like a good, you want to have like a decent sex life with your like long term partner. If you go too crazy, you're gonna fuck it up, I think.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean, if you go too crazy on that in your on porn and stuff.
Yeah. I had not a major issue. It was just, it must have been...
Just four or five times a day.
It was when I was with my ex. I've only been married once before, despite the fact that people think I've been married 90 times. I've only ever been married once before. And I remember my last wife, India, bless her. She came in from work and we had a bit of dinner and then she went, "I've got, all right." She goes, "I need to ask you something." I went, "What do you mean?" She went, "Are you having an affair?" Yeah, and I went, "Why?" And she went, "Because every time I come in, and you're on your laptop, you shut it really quick." And I'm like, "Ah, no." And I had to come clean and go, "No, I've been looking at porn. I'm looking at it too much." And she went, "Ah," she goes, "Thank God for that."
All right, yeah, no, that's good. That's a good way to take it. I remember one of my mates being like, he wasn't allowed to watch porn at all. When it was brought up in front of his girlfriend, he'd be like, trying to like shut the conversation down, and I'd be like, "What are you talking about? Are you mad?" Like everyone, we all do it. It's natural. It's
everyone
not,
has a look.
She took it as cheating, which.
Well, that's ridiculous. I think that extreme.
That is ridiculous. Yeah,
it's funny actually. I was talking to my lovely wife now, and we were having that conversation, and we were like, "I don't mind what you look at." And I was the same. She was like, "I don't mind what you look at. I know what you look at." What we were talking about is different if it's like on a more personal level. Like if it's more, if you're paying for like an OnlyFans or if it's a more interactive thing.
But you're like deep into the albums on one of your wife's friends' Facebooks. You're back in like 2013 or something like that.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Beach pictures.
I don't think I've ever done that, but I know people that have.
that's a problem.
I haven't got the energy either now. That's the thing.
No, I know. I don't. It is. It just kind of like, you never think, do you? But I just, it's not my, in your 20s, it's just like very difficult to control those urges. But, but now I'm finding I'm very, very, very content. I mean, I was, my wife, I was in love with. We used to go out when we were teenagers at college, and then we split up for 16 years, and we got back together 6 years ago.
Wow.
But I never fell out of love with her. So when I got her back, I was like, "No, blinkers wrong. This is just like, there's no reason." You know what I mean?
That's beautiful.
I'm fine with not looking elsewhere or not being tempted or anything like that.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. It is funny. Yeah, you're right. If you start you too involved in that side of things, then it takes away any energy you've got for the real life relationship that you're in.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a beautiful thing, man. I'm glad. Do you know what? I've only ever met you once, and I knew straight away that you were a good dude. I just knew.
Nice.
From our interactions briefly that we'd had online, and then meeting you at that gig the other week, I was like, "This is a top dude. You got a good energy." And
I feel the same way.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, it's just, it comes through, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. And we would, maybe it's to do with seeing your videos a lot, or maybe that kind of builds a connection before you meet the person. But straight away, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get on with this guy. This is nice. This is nice.
Yeah, I mean, mine and Willie's stuff online is very, like we get people, like kids, little kids, all the way through to like old people, all just loving it. It's very much wholesome vibes, mainly. And there's kind of like a, you know, like a love for each other, which kind of runs through it all. So that comes through, I guess.
It's really nice. It's really, when we had Will on the other week and he mentioned the same thing where, it's nice to have something lovely rather than, you know, kind of having a go at everybody and everyone's trying to be an edgelord.
Silly stuff. It's just, I love slapstick stuff. It's just so, to me, it's just so funny just to watch someone fall over or get hit in the face by a ball or something like that. You know, it's like, I like other stuff as well, more cerebral stuff. But if someone gets hit in the face with a bottle or a ball or something whilst they're doing that, that's even better.
I've got a brilliant photo of my son Bailey, and he's getting smashed in the head with a rubber dinghy. But it's just before the dinghy hits him and the face that he's pulling. It's one of my most favourite photographs ever. It's fucking great. And all his hair is like up in the air. It's just because he's just about to get pounded with this dinghy. Oh,
that's good. Ew. That's good.
Well, I remember it was a time, I probably talked about this on here before. My lads were obsessed with Jackass. So there was a point.
Yeah, I loved that as well.
Oh, at the time, man.
How old are your kids? God.
So they're now 26 and 31.
Right.
So this was 15 years ago.
So they were like quite young with Jackass still, wasn't it?
Yeah. They probably shouldn't have been watching some of it. Mind you, I introduced them to South Park, the movie, and that was on a VHS. So that's how young they were then. I remember they badgered me and I spoke to a few mates. And they were like, well, there's a bit of swearing at the beginning, but after that, it's just general, just kind of South Park-esque stuff. So I was like, all right, okay, Lord, I'll let them watch it. And I remember putting it on, and it was just that, shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. And I was like, and they just looked at the boys, and their eyes were massive. And they're like, oh, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. And then we were watching it, and then I remember sort of dozing off halfway through, and I woke up just as there was this, hi boys, I'm the clitoris. I was like, no. And I had to switch it off.
You got to jump on it, haven't you? I remember when I was little and my mum let me watch, I don't know how old I was really young, but have you ever seen See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, it's a great film, but loads and loads of swearing in it. And my mum said that to me when she said this is a really good film, but there's loads of swearing in it. So she'd asked me if I was going to be okay with it. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to be okay with it. But I remember watching that and you just love it. You love it because it's fun, because if it's genuinely funny as well, it's good. I don't think swearing is a big problem for kids. That's not really a thing. Like my little boy is like, he monitors himself. He's fine with it. He doesn't really, I swear in front of him, but not like, I don't try to, every now and then it comes out, it's fine. He monitors himself. But I remember when Willie was living here in lockdown, and we were just being ourselves, basically, very, very just kind of free around him. He was 4 years old at the time. And they're like a sponge. And he was upstairs with Natasha. And he was like, we were just talking like we would normally talk around each other. And he was like really picking up on our mannerisms and stuff and everything. And Natasha, my wife, was like, where's Ben and Willie? And he was like, oh, they're just fucking around downstairs. And you have to be like, try and not laugh out loud at it, because it's just great. Like, kids swearing is like, there's nothing better, is there?
Especially when they do it like that, when they get it right. They say it at the right time. They know exactly. They might not know what it means, but they fucking nail it. And you're like, oh, that's too funny. That is too funny.
I love it.
I remember my young, yeah, Bailey. Well, he's my middle one now, but so he was. We used to. So there was me and a woman called Marilyn that I was in a relationship with. Beautiful Marilyn, lovely Marilyn with her. With her, and we used to take her son and my sons to Brighton, and we used to give them a big bag of coins and go, right, off you go. And they'd run up the pier and they're chucking coins around. And we were walking up, and there was a woman playing a harp, and she was busking with this harp. And Bailey was stood in front of her for ages. And as we got to him, he went, no wonder she's got no money, Dad. She spent it all on that fucking harp.
Oh, that is great.
And you couldn't tell him off.
Telly. Yeah.
It was so really funny. But yeah, I get it. It's especially now when there's so much to see, and there's you know, like when I was younger, you know, there were certain videos that people talked about and copies went flying around, but now it's just all out there, isn't it? On the internet. Yeah. It's just there, they can find it.
We don't let our little boy have a phone or a tablet.
No.
Every now and then to Spotify, and I'm worried about that because I just feel like I'm going to lose him to it. It is scary. That it's really scary because it's so addictive.
Yeah.
And I reckon it's so damaging as well. And I think we'll look back on this era as like, you know, it's like smoking or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Just having that free access to all of that.
I think it comes up on here quite a bit, that kind of sense of, you lose that sense of excitement when you discover a new thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
I've used this example before. So I'm really big on my vinyl. I'm always buying records, and the feeling I get when I find this particular record that I've been after for a while that you can't get, I'm like, oh, I found it. That feeling.
Yeah.
Used to get that more often with things. And now it's
Definitely.
You know, it's just there, isn't it?
Everything's easy access. Yeah, it is. It totally takes like the wonderment away from a lot of things.
Wonderment. That's a great word. Yeah. So with your parents, what were they? They sound kind of chilled. When you were growing up?
Yeah, my parents are cool. I love my parents and I get on really well with them. Me and my sister try and create situations where we're all together, like going away together in a house, like at Christmas. Natasha's family all come and stay up at my parents' house up in Essex. They've got quite a big place up there and we can all fit in. So we have both families all in there. And
oh, amazing.
It's great, all together. But my dad is basically, he's got a child's kind of ADHD mind still. Mm. And he was like, I'd never doubted his like love for us growing up, but he was a bit like volatile. Like he had like a real temper on him and it was like scary. And that was always like something to like manage, trying to like manage my parents arguing.
Yeah.
But, they always had like love for like us kids and it was always good for us. And I don't know like what's better, like if they should have, like they stayed together because they're still together now. Right.
Mm.
And they're like, you know, they've got nothing in common, but they care about each other, but they haven't slept in the same room for like, you know, 30 years or something. So, it's a weird relationship and, you know, they get on each other's nerves, but they also, they care about each other. It was basically, you know, no matter what your parents do, I think they fuck you up in some way. This is what I think about stand-ups, right? Male stand-ups, especially, it's like all of them didn't get some sort of approval from their dad. Like my dad is the most he's been impressed with me, I think, is when I got six free bags of coal from this like place that was getting knocked down. You know, he's impressed by stuff. Like he was impressed the other day when I reversed down this driveway into a parking space. But the stuff that I actually care about, he doesn't. There's no, I don't get it from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I've just started getting it from my parents. They finally sort of get it now. Now they've seen.
Yeah.
There's things that are tangible. They go, oh, you've got. Like your shows on that channel, I'm like, yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah, we watch that channel. I'm like, oh, okay, so now they get it,
yeah.
Whereas before it was like, stop fucking around.
Yeah, no, but it's like my dad's always, did your parents like want you to do something or be something or press you into anything else?
No, my mum and dad have been pretty cool actually. I actually had a realization recently that they wanted to send me to a better school. They wanted to send me to this other school, and I made such a fuss about going to this school where all my friends were going. Yeah. And they went, all right, you can go to that school. But they really wanted me to go to this other, like, better school. And it's only like, it's taken me like nearly 40 years to go, fuck, I fucked that up. That was me.
Do you think, what was the school like? Do you think it would have been better for you to go to the other place? Or
it would have been,
shaped you? Or
it would have been better for me academically. But then I don't think, I've never been that academic. So it might not have done me any favours anyway.
Well at school, but after that, like college, I was not, you know, I just had, because you're controlled at school a bit, and in college you sort of, they let you go. And once I was allowed to do nothing, I just did nothing.
So there was no pressure from your parents to do this or that, or?
Well, there was at school, like, not for my dad. My dad was never really involved in the schoolwork. He just, like, I was telling my, he was kind of like, he's totally there, but he just doesn't know, like, he didn't know what you should be doing at any one time or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just telling my son this morning, because he was asking something about Scouts or Cubs or whatever it was. And me and my mate ran away from Cubs and Scouts. We were supposed to be on, like, there, and we ran away, and we were playing out front of the house on this like green grass here, and my dad came driving past, and we were obviously, he should have known that we were supposed to be there. I don't even mean, he was just like, hey boys, what are you doing? Just like totally oblivious. I can't remember the point of the
just the, like, did your parents ramble, like, pressure you into doing anything?
Yeah,
like,
no,
kind of particular job, or, because I know my mum and dad, they weren't, there's not so much pressure, but it was always like, get a job, learn a trade, and then you've always got something to fall back on. My dad was because my dad went to art school, so my dad was more like, look, whatever you do is what you do, just as long as you're getting paid to do it. And mum was always more like, get a job, just doesn't matter, drive a van, drive a bus, dig a hole in the floor, do something like that.
Yeah.
So I've had that, but there wasn't real. They've kind of gone along with everything I've done and rolled their eyes along the way.
my folks have done the same thing, really. I think I went to university after. Well, basically, I tell you, I started after college. I did a printing apprenticeship, right? And the only reason I did that is because someone in a college class was like, "There's good money in printing." And I was like, "I'm going to be a printer." So I went and started up an apprenticeship for that. And it's the most boring fucking job you've ever seen. Yeah, you're sat by this machine. And you just sat by it all day, and you have to check like this little colour thing to make sure the colours match up so the things get printed like crisp. But other than that, there's not a lot to do. And there was a filing cabinet full of porn magazines by my machine. And so I was just like flicking through those during the day and sitting on this seat. And I was like, I don't really know what you do. And then I came in one day and I saw the seat had gone. And I was like, are they trying to tell me something without actually telling me? So I built a seat out of pallets and then I fell asleep on it. And then the guy's like brought me up to the office, and he was like, look, he goes, I don't think this is working out. And I was like, what? I was like totally shocked. And he goes, I think you'll thank me for this in years to come, but I don't think this is for you. And like, he was so right. It was just like, if I'd have just carried on down that path, I don't know. I can't imagine doing a job where you have to do the same thing every day and it's just your life. So I went to university after that, and I didn't really know. My mum was disappointed that I got kicked off of this apprenticeship, right? And I just panicked. I was like, don't worry, Mom, I'm going to go to university. So I thought that'll make her happy. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I chose, but you know, I liked cars at the time. I was like into, I was like petrol head. So I chose a motorsport design and engineering degree. And the only place they did that was in Swansea, It was like Swansea and Farnborough, I think. And I went to see Farnborough, and it's just like desolate town. One of those like outskirts towns where there's just like nothing. You know, you've probably, you ever been to those where you gig at them and you drive at them and you're just like, I don't even know why this place exists. You know?
Yeah, I feel like that sometimes. Yeah.
Just like, just move. It's so bleak. So bleak. So I was like, I'm not going to Farnborough. So I chose Swansea without going there. And it was awesome. I loved it. But I didn't really, again, the degree, I didn't really work at the degree. I just did what I had to do to get by. Mm. But it was just fun living there. It was.
Swansea's a great place, yeah.
Swansea's amazing. I loved it. I stayed there for, the course was 4 years, and I ended up staying for 7 years.
I bought
a place there. And I was just wasting time. I had to leave there in the end because I was having fun, but I was doing nothing. I was just getting nowhere. It's a great place. Where we were in Swansea as well, I don't know how well you know it, but there was a street called Wine Street opposite where we were living, and it was closed off for traffic from like Thursday evening to Sunday in the nights, and it's just bars all the way up. So it's like being on an 1830s holiday for like 6 years. It was madness.
My son had his stag do there. Where did you end up? Well, the thing is, they're not massive party boys. What I learned on that stag do, like, we went and we played Dungeons and Dragons in the afternoon.
Is there a Dungeons and Dragons shop?
Oh no, this was back. So they rented a house for the weekend, and then they did it at the house. And then I think they just felt, because it was a stag do, they felt kind of obliged to go out and do it.
Right.
And we went out, and we went to this one bar, and I was like, right, let's have cocktails. So we've got them all around the cocktails. And then like, let's get some food. We got some food, and let's do this. And then by about 10:30, after we'd done mini golf and all that, they were like, it's getting a bit crowded now. Should we go back? And they went back and just sat and drank at the house. So, so I know of it. I know Wine Street. I didn't get to experience it. I was probably too old as well. It was only a couple of years ago. I would look a right dickhead. There's always one old tosser somewhere.
There totally is. I remember seeing people out like that and not thinking about it. But now, like, when I go out, I just feel like I shouldn't be here. I don't want to be here. I don't know whether I wanted to be there that much when I was even younger when I was there. You know, I just felt, like that's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
But I never was completely comfortable with it.
I think you have to.
Wine Street is mad. Did you go up to the Mumbles at all?
No.
That's really nice. But they do like a Mumbles Mile pub crawl, which is it's along the seafront, and there's all these lovely little pubs along there, and it's really nice up there. It's a bit sort of more civilized.
Yeah,
it's civilized apart from when they do that Mumbles Mile pub crawl. It's like the university thing, and that's not civilized. That's the opposite.
No,
it's a fancy dress pub crawl, and it is fun. It was fun. I ended up one night on the pier there, because on this fancy dress pub crawl.
Yeah.
I was dressed as a priest. I ended up fighting with two people dressed as builders on the pier. I was a priest and they were dressed up, you know, like YMCA builder types. And we were fighting on the pier.
I'd love to have seen that. I would have just been.
I know. I bet it looked good. Yeah.
I bet it looked amazing. I love this video footage online of like dinosaurs having a good kick in. And
yeah, those are great.
I'm not saying that violence is. I'm just saying when
you dress up, it is. Yeah. It's very fun.
I love all that. Dear. You know, it's.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Funny. As I get older, I'm glad that I'm aware of where I'm at age-wise, because I don't want to be a tragic old git. There's a friend of mine, beautiful friend of mine, and their daughter and boyfriend came to a gig in Brighton.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, they were like, oh, just going to have a pint, going to have a pint. I was like, yeah, yeah, fine. So we went and had a pint with them. And they're like 20, 19, 20. So yeah. We're sitting in the pub and we're having drinks and that. And then they were like, and then a few more of their mates turned up. And then they were like, oh, we're going to go to this other bar. Rich, come with us, come with us. And I was like, all right, I'll go to that one. Yeah, I'll go to that one. So then we go to that. And then now this one's rocking. And we're in there and I'm with them and they're all like 19, 20. And I'm 51. And I'm like, oh, and they start doing shots. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. All right. So I did that. Oh, we've got our mates on the door of this club that's just opened on the seafront. We're going to go down there. No. Oh, fuck. So I get dragged down there, bless them. And we get in there and then we get given VIPs, which is always, you just cut off from the fun. So now I'm in this VIP bit and I just slid off. I did that. I just went.
It's bizarre, that VIP thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who goes in there and what they think of themselves.
It doesn't matter. The rest of the place is jumping and you're stood in this weird corner.
It's such a weird thing. The whole thing going out is all like you can see inside people, can't you? I think when you're out in those, you know what I mean? You can see people's like egos and their fears and what they think is important. It's quite fun to people watch like it, but I can't get involved with it like on a level, like seriously, like I'm there to be there.
I am like a VIP.
Or just like being out in those places. I'm like the most enjoyment I can take out of it is people watching. Like if the music is something I really like and I can dance, I can get into it that way. If it's something I love, then I can get into it. But like, if I can get lost in the music, but other than that, I can't be there.
No. I just in my head is just no. I'm like Tom Selleck in Friends when he was hanging out with Chandler and Joey, and you're like, nah, I have to go. I look a cunt. Yeah. I gotta go.
Yeah.
But how? So what do you make of the? So the minute you know we're in the middle of this massive mental health breakthrough. Everyone's talking about it. The conversations. Happening left, right, and centre. What do you make of it all? How do you feel about it? Is it something you benefit from, or do you think it's gone too far? Like, it's something...
I mean, I do. If I'm brutally honest, I think a lot of people are very soft. I don't want to like muck people in with genuine, but I think a lot of people have genuine problems.
Yes.
And I think it's definitely a good thing. It's like anything. When there's like a movement, there's a step forward, good things happen from it. And then there's also people that take advantage of it and be like, I'm also mentally ill. And, I'm offended if you look at me like that or too long. You know what I mean? I think it's a good thing. But also there are some people where I'm just like, you're too weak. Too weak, and you need to be wheedled out of existence.
So yeah, this is just natural selection. I think there is an element. Yeah, there does have to be a moment where you have to go. You have to try and dig in and go right. I need to, I do need to.
Yeah,
get into
I'm probably, you know, like every generation has got the older generation which don't get the younger generation, and. I'm one of those probably, but But yeah, there's just like a weakness and a complainingness sometimes. I'm just like, I've got no patience for.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just seems to slow up doing things. I haven't got time for that.
No. Well, someone was telling me the other day they were in a coffee shop or a restaurant place, and the food turned up and they were getting charged like something like 15 quid. And he's like, and it turned up and he's like, this is bollocks. This is actual bollocks. And he's called the person, the waiter over and went, excuse me, mate, I'm really sorry, but this is obscene. This isn't this is outrageous. Then the person went off, came back with the manager, and the manager went, you've upset our staff member with your attitude. And he's like, I'm just telling you that I don't want to be ripped off. This is disgusting. And they went and they brought over the card reader and they went, we want you to pay now. And when you finish, we want you to leave immediately because you're not welcome in this establishment. And all he did was, and I know him and he's chill. And he just went, all I did was say, I'm not happy with this.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, I'm offended. You were rude to me. I wasn't rude to you, but some people are going to be rude. This is.
I know.
Some people are going to call you a cunt. You got to deal with
and
it.
And I think it's a necessity as well for some people to call you a cunt, because otherwise, you know, otherwise you're going to crumble when something real happens to you.
Yeah.
I think I'm very sympathetic if it's deserved, but if it's not, I'm also critical of that. I feel like.
I do get I want people to open up. I want people to talk to each other. I do want that. But I also want people to realise that sometimes you have to do, you're going to have to face some shit and you're going to have to face it head on. You can't. It's easy to go, I'm not going to go out today. I don't want to face that. And I say that as someone who's done that very thing. There are things now that I still haven't dealt with from 2 years ago. Scared of them. They've become so big now.
Yeah.
I just got to deal with it.
I think it's a good thing for, for people, for communication between people, you know, especially like, I don't know, there's things that like, so there's no way that my parents would ever have apologized to me for something they did. They were never wrong. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now I like, if I do something wrong or I'm in the wrong, like you make mistakes as a parent, you're fallible. But I think like for my generation, you don't realize that about your parents until you're like maybe in your mid 20s. Like, oh God, they're just people. And then you kind of have like a realization about them. Whereas now I mean, I think it's a positive thing where if, you know, you do something, you catch yourself doing something wrong, you admit it to your kids and you have a conversation about it and they kind of understand that. And that I think is a good thing. Like just knowing your parents are fallible and that they're human and you can have a conversation with them. They can do things wrong. You know, they forgive you for it. And both of you grow more in that sort of process.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said this loads on here that with my eldest boys, I've actually sat down with them and I've actually said, I could have been better. I could have been better and I'm sorry. And they, you know, and that's the other thing as well, when they turn around and go, no, you're all right. And you weren't that bad. It's just, they understand. Like you said, they've got that, they've made that realization. Oh, you're a person. And you got your own person things to deal with. Yeah.
Have they ever brought up any specifics ever, or have they, whenever you've done that or said that, have there ever been a time, like a specific time where they've identified or you have?
My eldest pointed out one thing, a couple of things, and I cringed. I went, oof, yeah, sorry about that. I think I was mucking around with him when he was a kid, really young, and I was a bit heavy-handed with him. I just didn't think, and I was just chucking him around, but I was a bit vigorous. And And he remembered that, and I went, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I said, I was just a bit, I wasn't thinking.
You forget how, like, terrifying adults are when you're a kid, when you're an adult. Like, you imagine, like, having to, like, play fight with someone who's, like, 11 foot tall or whatever to us now. it would be terrifying, wouldn't it? It would be. You forget that. You forget. I always used to play fight with my dad a lot when I was younger, and I used to get my friends to jump in as well. I would jump on his back and then go, get him! But my dad was always quite heavy-handed as well, so they were really reluctant to get involved. But it was always a good time.
There was a lot of... I think this is. I know this sounds like just an old prick whinging, but I'm not... There's just this... Because everything's really safe now, they're going to... They've missed the thrill of jumping off the shed onto 12 old mattresses.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want my kids to do that, but...
Well, yeah. My little boy is super cautious, and he is... I have to really try and... This morning I was boiling an egg, and I was like, look, come here. I want to show him how to, like, dip it a few times before you put it in, so the egg didn't crack. It didn't fucking work. It cracked anyway. But I was like, come here. And he was reluctant to come too close to the gas hob because it's hot. And I'm like, look, I'm standing right by it. It's safe. Come here.
Yeah.
So he's like super cautious. And I want him to be more of like, my dad was so reckless.
Mm.
Like, he had so many accidents. And my mum's like super cautious. And I think I've got a little bit of both. Like, I like to take calculated risks.
Yeah.
I do want my son to do more like adventurous shit, but at the same time, it is kind of nice to know that I can completely relax if we're anywhere, because I know he's not going to do anything crazy.
Yeah.
I want best of both worlds, you know, because it is fun doing like crazy shit sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Well, I remember again the Jackass thing, and I probably have talked about this on here. We lived in the middle of nowhere, and we had this house that had didn't have any neighbours at all. And it had this massive plot of land. There was a garage up the driveway, a big, massive double garage with a mechanics pit in it. And I was in the kitchen one day in the house, and there was this massive explosion that rocked the house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I looked out the window, and I saw the lads running, Grant, Keanu and Bailey, running from the garage and down the hill. I went, what are you doing? And they built a fire in the mechanics pit and then threw aerosol cans on it.
And it great.
Went, boom.
Man, I was an absolute pyromaniac. I still am. I love fire. We had this tree house that the bigger boys built when we were younger. It's all like, you know, different age groups of kids used to hang around in this, like, the estate went round this like big grass green area.
Yeah.
And then there's farmers' fields the other side of that. And it was the hedgerow in one of the farmers' fields had these two big oak trees in it. And they built this amazing tree house up there. And you climb up one tree and you get across a bridge from that tree to the other tree. And then that had everything in it. And we were, it was multi-leveled. Like, there was three floors to this tree house.
Oh my God.
And there's like, there was a curtain that was made out of some like underlay, you know, like from carpet underlay, rubber underlay, that went out like an outdoor bit of it. And some kid brought these smoke bombs and lit one in the bottom rung, and then it was all smoke coming up. And it was like, fire, fire. And we all like run away. And then he's like, just kidding. And then so we played with the smoke bombs. We finished with those. We run out of those. So we just start playing with the matches that are left after that. And we like lighting things and stamping them out. And we ran out of matches, so we went down the shop and bought more mattresses. And we were just lighting stuff up there and then stamping it out.
Yeah.
And then someone lit the curtain, and obviously you can't stamp it out because it's hanging. And it just started getting bigger and bigger, and we were panicking. And I remembered as clearly someone going, piss on it, piss on it. And I was like, I haven't got one coming. And this is the 80s as well. Like, shell suits were all the rage, like highly flammable
shell
suits.
Oh, my God.
We're all in our shell suits. And we just pegged it. We just ran off. And I remember running home and saying to my mum, I was like, she was on the phone. I was like, Mum, I think you need to call the fire brigade. The treehouse is on fire. And she's like, what? And she comes running out into the road. And it's like there were these massive, massive oak trees, and they were just fucking ablaze.
Oh, my God.
And the fields underneath were cornfields, like brown, ready to be, like, harvested. And bits of the tree were falling down into the cornfields. The cornfields were on fire. It was a fucking scene. And, that got out of hand. And I think, yeah, it was on the front page of the Houston Gazette, the local news, about the firing, and the farmer was losing his shit, and it was a whole scene. And I remember after that being really, my parents had a little an open fire in the house, and before I went to bed at night, I would like throw stuff on it, and they'd be like, "But what are you doing?" And I'm like, I didn't want to tell them. I was scared that the house was going to burn down.
Right, so
I was trying to put that fire out, but just like, by fucking with it. But so I was scared for a little while after that, but there was, I nearly blew up a hotel in Spain, fire by the gas tanks in there when I was little. I just used to light fires everywhere. I used to love it. But yeah, there's something just amazing about fire where it makes me feel good.
Oh, mate, yeah. I'm the same. We did the same thing. It was the field near us. So we lived right on the edge of town. So the estate's finished, and then it was the fields, and there was a massive park, and then it went off into the countryside, and there was this massive cornfield. And the farmer had chopped a load of stuff down, and then he'd done one half of the field, and then he'd made a load of hay bales, and then the next half needed chopping down. And we built a camp out of the hay bales. One day, and then my mate Winchy had cut the rope, so they all fell apart. And then we found matches, and he went, "Oh yeah, we just light one like that, light it and stamp it out." And it was on a blistering hot day, and I remember I've never seen fire go like that, like it just went, and we just went fuck, and ran to my mate Steve's house, and Steve Ball, we ran in and got his mum to call the fire brigade. And by the time like three fire engines turned up, like the field was just up, it was just gone, and we were so convinced we were going to get banged up that we ran away to Chislehurst for the afternoon.
Did any of it come back on you?
No, we said it was these older lads that had done it, and they ran away. But it was,
you
always
just ran
something
away for some other reason.
We were just coming to get help. There was there was always something on fire. There was I remember there was a big swing up by, it was called it was a big bomb hole, and it was in the woods. And then there was this big tree that went over it, and they built a swing. Yeah, and it was all like washing machines.
Right up my alley as a kid.
Oh, mate, I loved all that. And there was loads of us up in the tree, and we wouldn't swing out because we were scared. So the bigger lad set fire to the tree to get us to swing.
That's great. I love that. Did it work?
But kids won't get to experience any of this.
No, I know. I do. Statistically, I wonder if it's safer now for kids or not. I don't even know if it is, because you wouldn't let them just like go out. Like, there's no way. You know, I'd go out for the day and I'd be back in the sort of, you know, I'd be back whenever I was hungry just to eat.
Yeah.
You'd just be gone for the day. Just on adventures. Loved it.
Just out shoplifting if you were hungry.
I remember one of the kids that I didn't get into shoplifting until like I was later in life. But when I was younger, I remember I got caught actually when I was a little kid in the supermarket and stealing a lemon sherbet. I forced my friend to steal one as well. And then we got caught and he started crying. But I didn't. I remember a kid at my school being like a kleptomaniac, and he loved it. We would just go out nicking in the afternoon, and then just throw the shit in the river, like not to keep it,
I remember the thrill of shoplifting. I'm not saying people should, but getting away with it, and you go home and then look at what you'd nicked.
I think with today's, you know, how much it costs, I think as long as you're stealing from like big corporations, I've got no problem with it. I think go ahead. Tesco, Sainsbury's, whatever you can get, just do it.
Yeah, if you can do it, do it.
Yeah.
But people are, though. That's the thing. That's how bad things have got.
You're forced into it.
Yeah. And you see on the news, they go, "Oh, people are nicking baby formula to sell it." I go, "No, they're not nicking it to sell it. They're nicking it because they need it, and it's 15 quid a pop." It's disgraceful. It's things like that that upset me, and I have to have to make sure I'm pretty chill when I leave the house. Otherwise, I feel I'm going to have a Michael Douglas moment and lose my shit over a can of Coke.
Yeah. I was talking about that film the other day. I hadn't seen that. I saw it once, long, long time ago, but it's stuck in my memory. Just that bit of losing it, because it's so frustrating when you come across someone who can't think for themselves at all, and they're just the computer says no type stuff. It's I worry about that. I feel like it highlighted it in like COVID times where they told everyone what to do and they just fucking did it. To me, that's scary. I was still very much sort of free in my what I did and my movements, but to me it's scary how much people just do what they're told.
Especially when it's by people that, as has been shown, one, aren't following the rules themselves, and two, are so inept at what they're doing. They're all shysters. They're all fucking thieves. They're just out for themselves.
And when someone's been like proven to just lie and bullshit in the past, I don't understand why you think they're not doing that now, or they haven't got any personal gain. So, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh yeah, of course they're out. They're looking out for us this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apart from that, everything's fine, Ben.
Everything is fine. No, I'm all good. Like, to me, basically getting back with my now wife, it was just, to me now, everything else is a bonus. Like, so I've reached like a level of like complete happiness, I feel like. And everything else now is like extra shit to me. So I'm fully happy.
That's fully amazing. Happy.
I try and consciously be a happy person as well, because my dad is like a pessimist, right? And I feel like I was like that for quite a lot of my like 20s. I would see the negative in everything, and there's an experience I had which I can't actually speak about right now, which just gave me a new perspective, and was just like, if you're just like happier, you smile, people are nicer to you. Your whole world is basically what you put out there. It's reflective. Yeah. So you change your whole world by whatever you think. So I think it takes like a while of doing it consciously, and it just becomes your norm. But if you consciously catch yourself being negative and just change it, you take a breath, do whatever you need to do, and rather than look for the problem, look for the solution, or look for what's good in the situation, and then it does just become your life, I think, and it, you're better to be around for other people.
Yeah,
and it's just your whole world just gradually changes, and it becomes a happier place. And I feel like that's probably what attracted, what brought me and my wife back together again later in life. You know, she always talks about manifesting stuff, and I'm like, she's like a witch. You know, she believes in all the magicals. She believes in all the magic, right? And I'm like, I don't believe in any of that. But I do believe that if you have got something on your mind and you keep it in your mind, you manifest it in that way. Like you've got a target, and you'll notice other things to help you get to that target. It's not magic. You just notice other things along the path that are going to help you get to that target because you've got it in your mind. So I think in that way, that's what brought us back together, because I always had her on my mind. And
and you kept in touch all that time?
No, we were connected on social media, but we didn't, I actively didn't look at her or contact her or anything like that, because I just didn't want to put myself through it. So I just sort of like cut everything away. She would like message maybe on birthdays every now and then, just say happy birthday. But I got an anonymous Valentine's card sent through saying, it said I should have said yes on it. And I didn't know who it was from. There was a couple of names which it could have been. So I went on like a quest to try and find out.
Yeah.
And it came, basically the card came with letterheaded paper from the Savoy Hotel with a note, because it didn't go straight to me. The card went to a friend of mine.
Right.
And because she didn't know where I lived. and said, can you get this to, this letter said, can you get this to Ben? And it was on letterhead of paper from the Savoy. So I went down to the Savoy with the card and the note, and I was like, can you check if any of these names have stayed here? And they were really cool, actually. They went and they checked stuff out for me, and it came up blank. And then I got my mate who won the X Factor like 12 years ago. He's got like a million followers on Twitter to like tweet it out. And it did this kind of like mini viral thing online. Loads of people were like coming up with names suggesting like for my pass, and most people were suggesting Natasha. And I didn't want to like contact her directly and be like, was it you that sent this card? Just in case she was like, no. And I'd be like, yeah, no, don't worry about it. I've been thinking about it for 16 years either. Don't worry. So I think I didn't want to do that. So I didn't ask her. I just kind of like, I wanted some kind of definitive evidence about who it was before I approached anyone. So I kind of forgot about it. And then she was putting on an event in May. So this was in February. And then I kind of forgot about it after a little while, and I stopped trying to chase down any leads. And then she put on this event in May, and it was basically, she was a memorial concert that for her dad. Her dad was in a rock band in the 60s, and he died like 4 years previous. So we're putting on this, like, that there was a memorial concert, and they were showing a film of it at the Curzon. So I was like, because I was really good friends with the family when we first went out, I was like, I sent a message saying I'd love to come along to this if it's cool. And she was like, yeah, come down. I'll put you on the guest list. So I went down to it, and I arrived there late as well, which I fucking was kicking myself for. I was like, I was just the first 15 minutes couldn't concentrate. I was like, you fucking idiot. I was like, you're one chance and you fucked it up, you moron. And and then I saw her like after, because she was on stage for a Q&A afterwards, and then there was a little after party thing, and I saw her at that, but everyone kind of wanted to speak to her, so we didn't really get much of a chance to talk. So we said, should we like meet up for a coffee to like catch up? And we did that like a couple of weeks later. And then we met up the day after, and the day after that, and the day after. I didn't really know what was happening. Are we just like being friends, or what is this? And then kissed on the, I think it was the fourth or fifth day.
Yeah.
And she was like, she goes, I've got, I want to tell you something. And I was like, what? And she goes, I don't want to tell you. I don't know if I should say. And I was like, what is it? And she was like, it was me that sent you that card. And I was like, I've been in love with you for 16 years. Because I thought I thought I was trying to have to win her back at the time.
As soon as
I knew that it was her, like she was trying to get me back too, I was just like all in straight away. I was just like, I'm still in love with you. So it was all from then ahead, because my son is my stepson. It's her son. But any other relationship where someone had a child, I would be sort of very careful treading going into it. But because it was with her, I knew it was just kind of like full on straight away after that. And I've got like a great relationship with him now. And it's just great. It's all good.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, that is such a lovely story.
Yeah, such a lovely story, mate.
Ah, that's lovely. That's really made my heart sing. What a beautiful thing. Honestly, mate. What rock band was it?
Cream.
Fuck off.
Yeah. It's the singer Jack Bruce.
You're fucking kidding.
No, that's my father-in-law.
What? What did you say? Fucking hell! Cream are one of the greatest bands that ever were. Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. When we first went out, I didn't even. I wasn't into that type of music then, and I had no idea who he was. You know, I was just like, he's in a famous band or whatever. And but afterwards, I was just like, I remember people saying to me, that's my favorite Reynolds song. I was like, fucking hell! I was like, that was amazing. And now, and she's gone. It's all gone. I was like, fuck.
But, fucking hell, but man!
No, he died when we got back together. But I mean, they're just amazing. Like some of the most iconic songs, you know.
Yeah.
That And they were the biggest band in the world for the 2 years that they were together. They were massive.
Yeah. They're mate. Yeah. Ginger Baker, one of the greatest drummers that's ever lived.
Yeah, oh my God.
And it's funny because I sort of know Steve White, who was Paul Weller's drummer. I remember having dinner with him. And I said to him, and I was a bit pissed. I'd watched a documentary about Ginger Baker. And then I said, how big a cunt was Ginger Baker? And he went, not at all. He goes, he was an absolute sweetheart. He goes, that documentary did him no favours. They stitched him up, but...
I haven't heard I haven't heard that, but I think he's mad. But so there's I'll tell you this story. So when my my wife was, I think it's about 5 years old. Her and her sister were on the tour bus with with the band going along. And Ginger Baker was sat with his legs across the aisle. And they walked up. They're just like 5 and 6, and he had his legs across the aisle. And he just looked at them and just went, "Oh, fucking eight kids."
I'll take it back then.
I think he was a volatile human being. I'm sure he was nice to certain people, but I think people as well who are that good at what they do are often a little bit, they're a bit tapped.
Definitely.
A bit single-minded, so they don't care so much about other people in the other world around them.
Mate. What a beautiful way to finish. See, I could get lost talking about musical day. Producer Paul, I'd bend his ear over this shit. mate, Ben, this has been wonderful. Where can we find you on the socials?
Instagram. I mean, the thing I like to promote on Instagram and TikTok most is The Lovely Boys, mine and Willie's page at the Lovely Boys, and my personal one is at Ben Cohen Comedy. I'm on most things, and that's it. Yeah,
fantastic, Ben. Honestly, it's been a real pleasure to have you on, and we'll be having you at Tunbridge Wells on the 18th of
looking
Feb.
Forward to that.
So that'll be a good night. That's a great. It's such a great crowd.
Do you compare that?
I compare it, and you're always up for it. And it's in a little basement under the Sussex Arms, which is a music venue. It's only little, but we have a great time. You'll have a great time. We'll have a great time.
I'm looking forward to it. That sounds good.
It's going to be great, mate. Thank you for listening to us, everybody. This has been Insane in the Membrane. This has been Ben Cohen of The Lovely Boys. I've been Rich Wills. Thanks to producer Paul as well. And we'll see you next time.
Insane in the Membrane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.